Pacific Home. Bill Hendry.
Saul's got this super low-cut shirt with the boobs are almost hanging out of it.
Oh. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified.
I was a terrorized kid, you know, and in this day, I mean, it's really tough for me to think about now. Because
the officers have used them effectively, and I think that they prevented a lot of injuries.
How'd your mother and daddy meet, do you know?
Well, they were going to school together.
I like Wiener.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here until 4 a.m. on the East and 1 a.m. on the West. And on this program, truth is our bitch, and we get to it any way we can. We're going to continue this hour with Don Mixa, professor from the University of Seattle, as we talk about gays in the military, of great interest to a variety of campus groups at the U, as they call it in Seattle. One group, which is a collection of progressive groups on campus looking to repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell restriction of the United States military. Mr. Mixa is a representative of that group, Professor Mixa, I should say. We're going to get back to talking to him in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And you can also watch us online at philhendryshow.com or listen to us online at philhendryshow.com. We're all over the Internet. We utilize all of the major sites, social networking sites. We have a couple of Twitter accounts, twitter.com/philhendryshow, twitter.com/realphilhendry. We're also over at Facebook, Phil Hendry Show, facebook.com/philhendry, and, of course, our website. In fact, I even got a blip account today, some weird-ass thing that I don't need to do and I don't have any time for. So check us out at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Not only can you watch our show and listen to the downloads the next day, you can listen to hours and hours and hours and years and years and years and years of archive material, including 2001, the Lost Tapes, which are going to be worked on and put up on the site very, very soon. All right, so let's get Don Mixa back in the mix here, as I suppose people have probably said, Don, from from time to time about you. Let's talk about the campus group that you have, and what are the differences? You are a progressive. You have made that point several times. You're a liberal. You want gays in the military.
Absolutely.
And yet you are talking about the fears that some people have about gays attacking others as straight soldiers. You talk about flamboyant gays. You speak every bit like these Family Research Council conservatives that you say you don't like.
That is a misinterpretation on your part, and it's not very it's not uncommon, Phil. I don't blame you. I don't blame your listeners for misinterpreting. They don't understand that we're in a war, and the war is for human rights and human dignity. The Family Research Council, and I can read to you, if people don't like my language and they don't like the things that I'm saying, let me read to you what the Family Research Council, which is a far right-wing organization of bigots and people with serious prejudices. This is what they wrote. They believe that there will be a free rape zone in the U.S. military where no heterosexual is going to be safe. They believe that gays will be on a tear to rape and turn gay every straight soldier, every straight airman, every straight Marine, they say. They claim that they're releasing an analysis of publicly available documents which show that homosexuals in the military are three times more likely to commit sexual assault. I mean, this is, just goes on, and it is an unbelievable tissue of lies. What we are trying to do is we are trying to take the very worst of these accusations and deal with them directly. If, and it's a big if, but if, again, the word is if, a homosexual comes into the military and there is any risk at all of that gay individual availing himself in a free sweeping way of the straight people there.
Now, see, when you say in a free sweeping way, and you talk about nocturnal, and you talk about what did you say? A feeding.
What I'm using are these are terms, Phil.
No, but when you use it, the people don't know what you mean.
These are terms that that addressed directly these statements by the Family Research Council about these free sweeping moves by gays, herds of gays, if you will, or squads of them moving through barrack after barrack, and turning basically into a little Mary Jane every Marine they see,
Like that's going to happen?
Well, if it's going to happen, I want to be the first guy to talk about it, not some rural right wing bigot. I want people to hear it from a progressive professor. And you can come and talk to us anytime you want, Phil. We're at the U Village, the Starbucks, the U Village, which is right there on University. We're about 10 minutes from downtown. And I'm there on Sundays, and a lot of my students are there. And I go from table to table listening to discussions, and then I wrap it all up. And at the end of this, I'll just go, like I say, I'll move from table to table. And at the end, they'll look at me and say, can you synthesize what we've all been talking about here? Well, some of you are talking about the Seahawks. Some of you are talking about gays. Some of you are talking. And I'll just go ahead and I'll wrap it up. And I invite you to come down and listen to it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. All right, you know, you may say that you're looking to be fair-minded and you're looking to help, but you're calling the Family Research Council a bunch of bigots. But you also want to slow down the process of integrating the military with gay people. Here is Doug in Abilene, Texas, listening to us on KFNA. Hello, Doug. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa.
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Now, just to get real straight, I'm not gay, I'm not a little person, and you won't see me in a porn movie. I do happen to be a rural resident, though. But I happen to have a couple of degrees anyway. Hanging on the wall. So, okay. Maybe not an illiterate rural person. What I want to throw at
all
you
right.
is, having a military background myself, my family and myself for many, many years, one
all
of
right,
the
okay.
issues I see is that when you put people in a combat situation,
right, okay.
as we currently have, strictly a male
right.
situation, we've started to introduce females into more frontline combat roles, and we're already starting to see some issues in those relationships. When you
well, what are those issues, sir? That and if you can point out to me what those frontline combat roles are, I'd be very happy to look into that because I'm not aware of any quote frontline combat roles.
If you want to look at the general's
women.
Orders just about 6 months ago, having to do with women becoming pregnant in a combat zone, you can reference back.
No, you said frontline. You got to remember what you're saying. You said frontline
combat.
That's different from combat zone.
Combat
That's different
zone
from
roles.
Combat. No,
but if
you said front line. Now, let me ask you something, because you seem to have a lot of credentials. You're a college student. You're a farmer. You've been in
graduate.
The military. You're a
graduate.
Okay. So you live rural in your own. You know. So you're trying to challenge me on my expertise.
No, sir.
I'm a college professor.
I'm trying
I'm
to point out to you,
professor.
If you truly are concerned
I'm a
about helping
professor.
Gays in the military, if you're truly concerned, one of the issues that needs to be addressed. Is how do you separate
the farmer
in a combat
and the college
situation?
And the ex-military is going to tell me how to do this now, Phil.
Will you let the man talk, please? I haven't been able to hear him talk.
Well, I don't like the way he sets himself up as smarter than me.
No, sir, I'm saying
go
I'm
ahead, go, Doug, go ahead, Doug.
Okay. Well, what the point is here, if you put two men in a combat situation who are also involved in a romantic relationship, and one of those men becomes wounded or incapacitated, you've now put an emotion that has no place in the combat zone.
Is that right?
If that person would react
to you,
on a passionate
are you familiar
relationship,
with, if you so you know all about gay love and gay sex and all that, huh?
I happen to have been a resident in Seattle for about 13 years and learned quite a bit. Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, are you gay?
No, I'm not. I just said I am not gay.
Well, what do you mean you've learned quite a bit? What do you mean you've learned quite a bit? I don't understand what you're saying.
Because I accept...
Look, and he just made... why don't you talk about what the point that the man made was that if you have two frontline soldiers that are in love with each other and then a combat role, it's going to be bad.
Well, he doesn't have one bit of research to back that up. Not even one half of 1%. It's his opinion based upon
no,
what he thinks queers do. And yes, it is. It absolutely
no,
is.
No,
you don't have any...
Queers,
you have absolutely
do
no...
Human
you don't have any facts back... You know, you talk about it like you know something about it. That's what scares me. Now, do you know any nocturnal...
Would you knock it off with a nocturnal? All right, look at Doug. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. What about that?
What about what?
What about a couple of guys that are in love with each other?
So they're in love with each other. So what?
In the frontline role.
Man, I just got done telling you, Phil, that that guy doesn't have any information about that at all. He doesn't have any research. He doesn't have any data. He doesn't have anything other than his own opinion about what the peacock will do. Now, I don't know about the nocturnal.
Okay, so in other words, the flamboyant gay.
Yes, I don't know what he's going to do in a high-pressure combat situation. I have no reason to think that he's going to be chicken. I don't think he's going to chicken out. All right, but if you've got two highly flamboyant and nervous gays in a foxhole, are they going to turn on each other? And I'm not saying sex now. I am not talking about that at all. Now I'm talking about violence. And if you have two very flamboyant gays, and they are extremely nocturnal, and they are highly colorful, and the violence gets going on the front lines, how do you know the two of them just don't turn into animals and begin a wave of terror and violence, the likes of which no army has ever seen? And
well, isn't that what you want?
You want that, but you don't want war crimes. You don't want war crimes. That's what I'm talking about.
What are you saying is going to happen? Two gay men who are in love with each other. And the fighting ensues, and they're in the front-line position. You're saying what?
I'm saying there's a high likelihood that those two gay men will turn so violent that the My Lai massacre would be like a bedtime story for a four-year-old. What those two gays would do in the next ensuing 30 to 45 minutes to any and all human beings in the area. I don't think there'd be enough left of them to put in a can.
Well, I'd like to know what your research on that is.
I'd be very happy to show it to you.
877-876-PHIL, as we continue talking here to Don Mixa, who's just said now, in response to that poor man who was trying to get a word in, I just, if you have gay people who have a tight emotional relationship on the front lines, he said that if violence ensues, if an attack, for instance, takes place, those two gays are prone to commit war crimes. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Do you want to ask me any more questions?
No, I'm going to a commercial.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. A few minutes left here with Don Mixa. Don, we're talking here. If you're going to be listening to my callers, I would appreciate if you give them a little bit of a moment to explain themselves. That man was in the military. He was a college graduate. Okay.
The man was attempting to make a case about something that he had absolutely no doubt on. Look, Phil, I teach a college class. I teach a class in engineering. I teach a class in structural design. And there are days when a class is simply not up to... I'm going to be very honest with you. There are days when the class is not up to my intellectual standards. And I am literally looking for something to do. And many times when I was talking to that man, I was looking for something to do. I was watching television, believe it or not. And
you're watching television while you're talking to one of my callers who is making a very good point.
Well, I didn't think it was a very good point. I thought he had no data for it, no real statistical data. He didn't have a database. I always look for the database. But some days I toy with my students to the point where one or two of them have considered going out to Aurora Bridge and seeing how it feels, the wind through their hair. But you don't know what I mean by that.
Aurora, jump from the bridge?
That is correct. That is correct, yes. Go out to Aurora Bridge and see how the wind feels whistling through your hair. And the reason for that is because they came into my class intellectually unprepared. I turned them into cat food. They wander out into the street not even knowing who they are anymore. And Aurora Bridge looks like a pretty good deal. It looks like a pretty good option.
Aurora Bridge. Is that a suicide bridge?
Give the man a cigar. In fact, give him two cigars.
877-876-PHIL.
I'm hearing a lot of dead air, Phil.
What you're hearing is the sound of disgust, to be honest with you. Here is Mike in Fort Riley, Kansas. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Mixa. Go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Hey, you know, yes. we've been listening to you, sir, for a while now, but I think you're missing the reason why you're on the show, and that is, I'm not going to get into the fact that I don't believe gays should be in the military. What I want to get into the fact is get into your head, because you haven't given us a how you are going to implement this plan of not letting your, in your words, your Daisy Dukes, your Diesels into the military. Because the problem is going to be, if you could relate this to something very simple, i.e. with a dangerous dog. If a city or a town or a county or a parish wants to ban homeowners from having a dangerous dog, they can't say you can't have a dangerous dog. They have to say you can't have Rottweilers or you can't have Doberman Pinschers. But once you let a homosexual into the military, there is no way that you can say, well, this guy is one of your peacockers or this guy is one of your night stalkers, as you will. There's no way that you can do that. And that's what I'm really missing here.
I don't know what homos owning Rottweilers has to do anything. And I just heard you use a pejorative term in reference to homosexuals, calling them homos.
I'm saying if
a homo owns a Rottweiler, what do homosexuals owning Rottweilers have to do with anything?
I'm talking about a straight person. Anybody is what I'm trying to say is how do you plan
You specifically said homo.
He said homeowner. Isn't that what you said? Yeah, Mike.
No, he said homo.
He said homeowner.
A homeowner. If a homeowner owns a dangerous
homeowner, a renter, a landlord.
No, a homeowner.
If you cut off N-E-R, what have you got?
Homo.
That's exactly what I think is going on here.
You keep telling us how, you know, you're a professor, but you're sidestepping all these good points.
I apologize.
I just want you to answer the question. How do you plan on implementing your plan of slowing down the fact that homosexuals are coming into the military? Because...
Well, I don't want to slow that down. I want to slow down what I call the Daisy Duke effect.
First of all,
we have to understand this. We already have homosexuals in the military.
I agree. I understand.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about homosexuals undermining the military. They're already in the military, and we've got the greatest military in the world. All right, that's number one. Number two, what you are afraid of, and I think what I'm afraid of, and I think also what the Family Research Council is afraid of, is the Daisy Duke, what we would call the first wave of Daisy Duke, and that is the FWDD. When that happens, and if it happens, and how it happens, is up to you and I. You get these Diesels and the Dukes, you put them all together, and they're going from barrack to barrack.
What are you talking about? That they're going to convert straight soldiers?
I don't know. At this point, we don't know. The research isn't in. We know that they're nocturnal. That one lady was laughing at me.
That we know that they're nocturnal. It's almost as if you're talking about a raccoon or something. You know.
Well, I'll tell you, if you start laughing again, this gentleman knows what I mean. Do you understand what I'm saying, sir?
I understand what you're saying, that
okay.
You don't want these people to come out. But what I'm trying to say is,
what is your plan on
implementing it?
My plan is the following. My plan is the following. We need a deprogramming, an immediate deprogramming, if we see a runway walk, if we are seeing what I call either the Miami or the Paris sachet, or the Miami or the Paris, it's called the Miami or Paris shuffle.
Okay, now here...
What is that?
That's if they walk like they're on a runway.
Go ahead.
Right. Let me interrupt you real quick, and this kind of has to do with the last caller, is the fact that...
Yes, sir.
Anytime, what the military is going to have a problem with is that a post commander or division commander's authority is only good inside of that post. So, for instance, if he is downtown in a college town doing whatever he's doing, the military can't do nothing about that. So where
if
are you...
you see, but if he's going off post, if he's going off post, and he is going off post walking in what we call the Paris shuffle, then you can interdict.
The commander cannot do anything about it. That commanding officer
cannot do anything about it. If he's still on post. If he's still on post, you can't.
Yeah,
we have to stop them.
But that's what I'm saying.
We have to bag them. We've got to bag them before they go off post and contain. My opinion is quarantine, contain. And you can slowly but surely, with the right food and the right exercise, get them to walk normally.
And that's what I'm
saying.
What are
you...
Now, We have, right. in your words, we have that right now, quarantine contained, by saying no homosexuals in the military, no showing of that. So it is contained. So why change a good thing? You're just, you're
They are in the military.
So your plan of quarantining
and they're having sex with each other.
In effect.
It's in effect, but it's they don't walk. So yes, so that they don't walk. So they're not preening, so they're not turning out.
All right. Listen, thanks so very, very much, sir, for your call. Don Mixer from the University of Washington, The Phil Hendry Show. And coming up, we have Vernon Dozier on tasers.
Phil Hendry.
Tasers. I want to do that one.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we have Herb Sewell. Herb Sewell, who is a contributor of ours on news items. Mr. Sewell, as well, has spent time in a forensic psychiatric hospital as an inmate. So he has spent time effectively in a hospital for what used to be called the criminally insane. And he's going to be talking with us in a few minutes about this new Barbie doll, which is out and is apparently they're calling it the new Busty Barbie because it has a bigger chest and a lot of things relative to that. We'll be talking with Herb Sewell about the new Busty Barbie. Herb Sewell, a guy who spent time in a psychiatric hospital.
Well,
I don't, you know.
Well, you're looking at me. I mean, what's wrong with that?
You know full well what's wrong with that. Here's a guy that's been in a nut house. He was inside for crimes against children. And we're going to talk to him about a Barbie doll.
I thought it made sense. If you put two and two together, well, you're gonna do it, you know? What do you mean put two and two together?
What has that got to do with anything? All right, never mind. Fine. You put it together. You booked him. That's fine.
I think you'll love it. You'll be all over it like white on rice.
Oh, get out of here, white on rice. And then later on, Vernon Dozier will join us, a high school educator and a man with great opinions on law enforcement of this country. Will be talking about tasers and tasing and how the use of the taser is most probably going to be going up. And by up, I mean it'll be used more frequently by police. So 877-876-PHIL. Jace, what is this thing you're telling me about? Some poll? Some list? What? We have about nine different lists here. I got the nine worst food chains in the United States, actually the nine worst food dishes in America from food chains. We were going to do this last night, but I thought that this, I thought the one we did last night was pretty interesting. It was so interesting, I forget what it was.
Yeah, I do too.
But that's, you know, that's typical of this crew because we don't remember what we do from one night to the next. You remember, Robert?
No, but I remember it was interesting, yeah.
See, that's it. We knew it was interesting, but you didn't keep any notes?
No, I don't. I mean, it was interesting, but it wasn't that interesting.
Oh, here it is. 15 ways to predict divorce.
Yeah, now I remember.
Well, yeah, now you remember because I just said it. Anyway, nine worst food chain dishes in America. The Cheesecake Factory's pasta carbonara with chicken. 2,500 calories and 85 grams of saturated fat. So that's what they mean by the nine worst. What they're saying is worst in terms of your health, not tasting.
Well, who cares about that?
See, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, I understand, and I think it's, you know, it's a public service to say, well, this is not a very good a dish for you in terms of your health, but I don't really care either. I mean, I thought they meant, does it taste like poo, or is it something that goes down just, yeah, you know? So, for all I know, the Cheesecake Carbonara from the Cheesecake Factory's pasta carbonara is probably fantastic, man.
Yeah, well, our carbonara, they got that bacon and everything, right?
Yeah. I believe that carbonara has some bacon. And they have chicken, 2,500 calories and 85 grams of saturated fat. Ah, so what? Go out and have a dish of it. Sounds fantastic. Do yourself a favor. You know, let me tell you something. Because I'm on now my steak and salad diet. You know this thing, don't you?
Now, how are you going to lose weight on that?
You lose weight? Believe me, I've done it. I've done it. Steak and salad. And that's all you eat is steak and salad.
Yeah, but I mean, what about, okay, so you have a steak and then what else?
What?
You're having steak, but then what else?
What did I just get done saying?
Salad, man. And a salad, yeah, but then what else?
Steak and salad. That's all I'm having. Steak and salad.
Even a breakfast?
Yeah, even for breakfast. Breakfast. I'm having steak. I'm having salad.
What about like a, yeah, but what do you put on a, what do you call a salad dressing?
I got oil and I got that red wine vinegar.
Are you crazy? Everybody knows about that ball, or what is it called? Ball vinegar? No, man, something else.
Balsamic?
Yeah. That everyone knows. That's way better.
Oh, is that what everyone knows?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I don't know that. In fact, I'm sick of balsamic vinegar. I can't stand ball vinegar. Balsamic vinegar. I'm done with that, man. I'm having red wine vinegar, and if anybody doesn't like it, they can go lump it, Jack. That's what I'm having. That, oil and vinegar, and a little seasoning, and salad. And steak, and salad, and steak, and salad, and steak. Now, the key, and this is the part that nobody likes, you got to move your ass, man. You got to get outside. You got to, you know, play some volleyball, lift some weights, run around the block, bench press your car, something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have that. Burn off the fat.
Yeah, like exercise and stuff.
Right. So I go out and I walk on the beach.
Yeah, well, you go like 2 feet and then you turn around.
Why don't you shut up, man? You don't know that.
That's what you said you did.
I said I did it the one time I went down. Butt out. So you can go down, you can walk on the beach, and a lot of stuff you can do. But you got to move your ass, man. Now, once you drop all of that weight, whatever it is that you're down to your fighting weight. Now you can eat any way you want, but you got to go out and you got to move your ass. You got to keep it off. You got to do whatever you got to do. I don't know what the hell. Ride a bike, swim. I used to be a big bicycle rider, man. I loved riding my 10-speed. I was all over the place on my bike. I went through China on this bike. Not only did I go through China, I went through East L.A. Yeah. So anyway, here are, so that's number one, the Cheesecake Factory's pasta carbon. Number two of the 9 worst chain food dishes in America, P.F. Chang's double pan-fried noodle combo.
Wow. Yeah, you're kidding me.
Man. 1,820 calories, 7,690 milligrams of sodium. It was chosen for its sodium content, not its fat. God knows what they've got in terms of fat in this thing. The double pan-fried noodles combo. Woo-hoo! Yeah, man. You imagine some guy waddling out after having a couple of plates of that? So what'd you get, Harry? Okay, great. Number three, Chevy's crab and shrimp quesadilla. So the first one is the Cheesecake Factory's pasta carbonara. And that has 2,500 calories. And understand, folks, 2,500 calories, to put this into proper perspective, that one dish, what the hell is going on? Oh. That one dish contains more calories than, let's say, the average prisoner of war got in a year, maybe. Maybe not a year, like a month or something, or 6 months. So a fat ass goes in and sits down and has that. He's eating more than the combined caloric intake probably of every guy in a prisoner of war camp in any war you want to mention for like 5 months. One fat ass.
Man, that's not even patriotic, you know.
Yeah, if you sit down and eat that, you got to think about a guy that starved on a prisoner of war.
That's right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into Cheesecake Factory. Give me the pasta carbonara, would you please? Thank you. Because while I eat it, I'm going to be thinking about a guy in a prisoner of war camp. Jesus.
You would.
Look at man. All right, number three, from the Chevy's restaurant chain. You probably know Chevy's. I don't know if it's back east. We have it here in California. It is a Mexican food, a southwestern food, if you will, emporium. Very good. The Chevy's crab and shrimp quesadilla. Look out. 1,790 calories, 63 grams of saturated fat. We ought to have ourselves some kind of a sound effect here, man, to give it like the, I don't know what you want to call it, like the grand, you know, the number one, the champion of all champions here. So there we have from Chevy's, and that is the Chevy Shrimp and Chicken Quesadilla, 1,790 calories. Now.
That's very childish.
I'm sorry. All right, now, number four, the California Pizza Kitchen weighs in, if you'll pardon the pun, the California Pizza Kitchen weighs in with, the, now, these are the 9 worst chain food dishes, folks, in terms of your health. Number four is California Pizza Kitchen's Tostada Pizza with grilled steak, 1,680 calories, 32 grams of saturated fat. Thank you very much. Now, I better stop doing that. Then we move down the list here. Number five, hey, look at that. Cheesecake Factory back on the list. Cheesecake Factory's Chocolate Tower Truffle Cake. Well, of course, the desserts are going to drive you nuts, right? Cheesecake Factory's Chocolate Tower Truffle Cake, 1,670 calories, 48 grams of saturated fat. Number six, the Bob Evans restaurants. What the hell is that?
That's she was married to Roy Rogers. Yeah.
Bob Evans was married to Roy Rogers.
Not Royal Rogers. Right?
No, I know. Roy Rogers, Bob Evans.
Wasn't she?
You know a girl named Bob? Because I've never heard of a girl named Bob. Do you?
Well, I meant Dale Evans.
Oh, you meant Dale Evans. Well, that's not the Dale Evans restaurant. That's the Bob Evans restaurant.
Yeah.
And the Bob Evans restaurant cinnamon cream stacked and stuffed hotcakes. No kidding. Imagine a guy walking in and ordering those. The Bob Evans restaurant. I bet you the Bob Evans restaurants are open between 1 a.m. and 8 a.m. And they get all the bar business, you know.
Oh, man. Everybody pour on have a breakfast in there.
I bet you they get all the bar business in there. All these guys, cats are just like ready to fall out. They go in there, let me have the cinnamon cream stack and sell hockey. You ever seen your friends, you know, if you've been out drinking, you guys know what I'm talking about. And, of course, I don't do this anymore because I'm now all grown up and mature. But, you know, back in the day, all right, so you go out and you get hammered at your local wherever. I remember when I lived in Orlando and I started my radio career in Orlando, Florida. Back in the day, there was a place down on Church Street called the Church Street Station, Rosie O'Grady's, that was it. And they probably still have it. And I'm sure that Rosie O'Grady's is still doing business, but it is not possibly doing the same kind of business it did back then, because it was the only thing happening in Orlando. I mean, that was it.
What, like the place, a real hot, really hot place now?
No, it's probably still a boring, dull burg, but they got a little bit more. We go down there to that damn Rosie O'Grady's, you know, and we'd always go upstairs and we'd watch the Red Hot Mama, all this jazz, get drunk, and then we'd wind up at some breakfast joint. I can't remember. It was always the same damn place. Maybe it was at Denny's. And I was always amazed. I'd see people go in after a night of drinking, and cats would just like pull out just wads of cash and order these huge breakfasts, right?
Yeah, they never finish them. Yeah, like leave half it there.
Right. Right, they order these huge breakfasts, they eat about three bites, and then they go home and puke it all up. So that's Bob Evans. Now, number seven, the California Pizza Kitchen's Pesto Cream Penne. Jeez, 1,350 calories, 49 grams of fat. Number eight, the Outback Steakhouse's New Zealand Rack of Lamb. That's the one thing I've seen in this whole list that I wouldn't touch with your fork and knife, bud.
Why?
I hate lamb. And then finally, number nine, Five Guys Burgers, bacon cheeseburger, 920 calories, 30 grams of saturated fat. Now, all we've done with this bit is we've got a whole bunch, speaking of bar people, we've got a whole bunch of people heading over to their Five Guys now after hearing it. We'll be back here. Herb Sewell coming up on the Busty Barbie. Our number, 877-876, Phil, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Phil on the line is Herb Sewell, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Busty Barbie. And Herb, you heard me talking with Bud about this.
I heard that's sort of the sound of disdain in your voice. I don't know why that is. I am not talking here about anything that I went to jail for. I'm talking about this Barbie doll that they have now. You're talking about this Busty Barbie. Is that correct, Busty Barbie? Because that was what I was talking with this individual that you have on your staff, this Dickman.
Yes, I know, but I it's a child's toy.
I'm not talking at all, and I really think it's unfair. I think it's quite unfair for you to assume that because I'm talking about a child's toy, I'd somehow involved you in talking about molesting children. I haven't done that in quite some time, so I think it's very, very unfair of you. And I wish that you'd stick to the issue at hand.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to infer that. What I was saying was, I thought perhaps we could get a better expert to talk about the busty Barbie doll, but you have some perspective. Now, before we talk about it, though, Herb, I want to get to, I believe this is Channel 11 in Minneapolis, K-A-R-E-TV in Minneapolis, talking to Andy, a mom who is upset with this new busty Barbie doll. It's always been known for the curves of the doll, but a new doll from Mattel is upping the ante, much to some parents' consternation. The Barbie Back to Basics collection is a new line of Barbie dolls dressed in stylish cocktail attire, black little black dresses, off-the-shoulder frocks, and tiny strapless numbers. But one doll on the line is grabbing all the attention. Number 10 has quickly earned the nickname Busty Barbie. It's an African-American doll, I guess, with a very large chest. So here is the Minneapolis mom, Andy, talking about this.
This doll's got this, you know, super low-cut shirt where the boobs are almost hanging out of it. Now, my daughter's going to have it, and I don't want her to think that she has to be this, you know, busty Barbie who's constantly wearing heels and these low-cut shirts. And that's really the image, I think, that a doll that you're going to buy for your child is portraying.
All right, Susie, I guess another mom, says kids don't want to mimic their dolls. And besides, some of the Barbies are meant for an older audience?
I have never met a child that woke up and said, I want to be Barbie. They want to be their mothers. They want to be their aunts. They want to be their teacher. They're not necessarily aimed for kids, though. There is a lot of them that are aimed at adults. They have Barbies that sell for over $100 that are Charles Labutin heels. Those aren't aimed to a 10-year-old. Those are aimed to a middle-aged woman who wants to collect the Barbie doll.
Well, the term is aimed at, but...
All right, hold on. I just wanted to hear from those women. What is your take?
My take is that, first of all, I have to tell you, I'm not exactly the most thrilled to follow these two soccer moms. And they're, I don't know even the attitude that they have to the Barbie doll. Now, when I was a boy, you told me once that, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, that you took your sister's Barbie dolls and painted nipples on them. Isn't that true?
Well, you know what? I guess it's out now.
Well, it's not very unusual. Is it unusual for young men your age to have done that?
No, it's not unusual. I mean, any guy that had a sister with a Barbie doll, we generally grabbed the Barbie doll and did something to it, yeah.
Because you were curious, as a prepubescent and pubescent child, that you, certainly with the hormones beginning...
All right, okay, yes.
All right. I didn't have that as a young man. I had mother... And because I had mother, the very first breast I ever saw was mother's, and I was 14. Now, you can well imagine the trauma of seeing that. I think I would have done much better as a young man, that would have avoided incarceration for the kinds of offenses, you know, that I was actually, you know, when you were in high school, what's the worst thing that happened to you? You got arrested for what? You know?
Well, look at Herb. Would you not tell everybody everything that you know about me, please?
All right, but I can assure you, and I can assure your audience, Phil was not his encounters with the police were not as serious as the one that I had. Now, so you were a young man. You had the benefit of a Barbie doll that you could strip, paint nipples on, and pubic hair, and then set on fire. Now,
well, what is that, healthy or something?
Well, hold on for just a moment, because while it may not appear a healthy pursuit to you, you know, I'm the one that was in a nut house. I'm the one that was in a nut house, and I didn't have that. I didn't have that.
So you're telling me that if you'd had a Barbie doll to play with as a boy...
Not play with. Did you play with your sister's Barbie doll?
Well, I defaced it, in a manner of speaking. I think we all did, yeah.
You played with it. In other words, you played house? What, did you marry it? Good. Oh. But when you say you married it?
No.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds to me if you didn't play with the doll in the traditional sense, that your sister played with it.
No, my sister played with the doll the way girls play with dolls. They're friends. They dress them up. They take them out and whatever little girls fantasize. As a little boy, I looked at this Barbie doll simply as an object. that, like a lot of little boys, I wanted to take its clothes off and look at it. And, of course, I was disappointed. You know, it wasn't anything like a what I imagine a woman looked like.
But you decided to deface it by painting nipples on it.
Well, frankly, I don't think that I was I didn't think I was defacing. I didn't think my sister would mind. I don't know what, you know.
All right. The fact is that you grew up relatively normal compared to the way that I grew up. I wound up in a forensic hospital, and I spent 8 years in the psychiatric hospital undergoing shock therapy, both electric shock and insulin shock. Went to a variety of therapies, and, of course, was finally put over in the A-wing, where I met Walter Belhaven and a number of other individuals who I became very good friends of mine, but I was eventually released after 8 years. Now, had I the busty Barbie to paint nipples on and pubic hair and then set on fire...
What do you mean, set on fire?
Didn't you do that?
I didn't do it. I heard of some guys would just, they'd set fire to the doll, but so this is a normal...
It sounds normal to me. You were a normal boy. You painted nipples on the Barbie, pubic hair, and you set it on fire, and you're fine. I saw my mother naked, and I wound up with electroshock for 8 years. Do the math.
Hello?
Forget it.
All right, we got Vernon Dozier next. World famous Phil Henry Show. What? Her.
Phil Henry.
I don't forget it.